The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. Good evening to you. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder about biblical truth in the face of a country where so many do not accept the Bible, do not accept biblical morality. Can they all be wrong? Well, my friend, we can't determine truth based upon majority opinion. Last week, I talked for a good deal of time on this radio show about courage, a courage that we will all need in the days ahead, a courage that can only come from God. Now, to get us kicked off tonight, well, not kicked off the air, to get us kicked off with the show, using it that way, I actually want to share with you an example of courage, an example from a man who has great courage. I am going to play a brief excerpt from a Christian leader who probably made himself very unpopular with his own congregation for sharing these words, or at least many in the congregation. These are the words of a Catholic priest, Father Jeffrey Kirby. It's part of a sermon to his parish that was given not long ago on December the 29th, just the end of last month. For the record, I am not a Catholic. If I had to classify myself as anything other than the word Christian, and I don't really like classifying myself with anything but the word Christian, but just to pin it down, because I know there's all kinds of different things people can use and mean by the name Christian, I am what you would call an evangelical Protestant, if we had to get that technical. I disagree with a great deal of Catholic theology. However, and it's a significant however, genuine Catholics and genuine Protestants agree on the important stuff. They both accept the authority of the Bible. They both accept the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives, his atonement, his resurrection. Ladies and gentlemen, for right now, all theology put aside, I would like to see more of my fellow evangelicals have the courage of this man. He's harsh. Oh, he's harsh. You probably never heard a harsher sermon in your life. There's no getting around that. I believe it's a harshness that's needed. I believe there is sometimes a place for that. Let's listen in. This clip is only a few minutes.
We have become so soft. We are willing to compromise so much. If we truly believe, I pray that we do, that Jesus Christ has given us the most powerful message ever given to humanity, I pray that we will be unshakable, immovable, uncompromising in our defense and explanation and sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the rights of the church. Of course, some of us believe that. Some of you, I know, voted for someone who is now going to suffer and persecute the church for the next 4 years. That on top of the fact that he supports the utter slaughter of the unborn. What have you done? What have you done to your church? Look at and watch as our religious sisters will be dragged through the courts, as contraception will be set to be imposed upon them. Watch how our hospitals disappear because we will not follow government dictates. Watch how our support of unwed mothers disappears because of constant and unreasonable regulations. Watch as Mother Church shrinks. Watch how she is treated by this government, this coming administration. And those of you who voted for such an administration, bear the responsibility of what you have done, because we are in for it, folks. And they're already getting ready. Have you seen the appointees some of the most aggressive anti-Catholic, anti-organized religion leaders in their various states. And this is what we're in for. To the righteous, to those of us who believe, also get ready, because we're going to have a very difficult next 4 years. We will be able to exemplify the virtues and the fortitude of St. Thomas Becket. We will be able to speak the truth, even as they try to silence us, right? It's interesting, whenever Christians just want to share their view, suddenly tolerance disappears. Have you noticed that? The tolerant become very intolerant when it's a Christian. When we want to argue for natural marriage, the personhood of the unborn, authentic religious liberty, suddenly we are the ones who are told to shut up. Never forget, dear friends, and the wise, I pray you know this in spiritual wisdom, the wise know that evil talks about tolerance until it's in control, and then it suppresses and destroys tolerance. That's what happens. And get ready, because if you've missed that lesson, somehow in the midst of Soviet communism and Nazism before it, and the communism in the various parts of our world, just look at Venezuela, if you somehow missed that, how? Have you been living under a rock? If you somehow missed that, don't worry, you will have quite a show for the next 4 years in the United States of America. This is where we are, dear friends. It has often been said that we have two religions in one institution. And my goodness, is that becoming so clear?
You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Those were the words, once again, of Father Jeffrey Kirby. Now, this was sent to me, this little clip was sent to me last week by a friend. After sending it out myself to some other friends, one of those other friends immediately pointed out that he wasn't hearing much from this guy about the love of God or the forgiveness of Christ. Okay, understood. Now, to be fair, you only heard a little clip. This is going around the internet. I suppose it's possible to get the whole sermon. I haven't heard it, but let's assume that this was the whole sermon, or the whole sermon was of this tone. Even if that had been true, I assume, and I'm only assuming, but I assume that as a priest, he has talked much to his people over the years about Jesus' atonement for sin, the love of God, the forgiveness of God. There is also such a thing, my friends, as tough love. There is also such a thing as calling out evil and calling people to account and calling out hypocrisy in the church when people say they believe one thing, but then they vote for somebody else for some reason. You see, it's never one size fits all with God. Look at the difference between the way Jesus spoke to religious hypocrites, calling them whitewashed tombs with dead bones inside, and the way he talked to the woman who was accused of adultery. And she didn't need a lecture. She just needed forgiveness and tenderness. Sometimes you have to knock people down a peg to get them to repent. So I want to be fair to this guy. We haven't heard the whole context, but again, it's not one size fits all with God. I believe there is a place for that kind of rebuke, that kind of tough love, that kind of calling out evil. Having said that, just to put things in the broader context for my own radio audience right now, I do want to take a moment to emphasize the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, a forgiveness that covers any decision you've ever made, whether recently, whether politically, or throughout your entire life, any decision of yours, any choice that you might regret. Maybe you've had an abortion. He was talking about abortion there. My wife leads a tremendous ministry of love and healing and tenderness and forgiveness for women who have had abortions. Whatever your story, Jesus offers his grace.
Hangman, 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 slack your own wire. I think I see my father coming many a mile. Well, Father, did you bring me any silver? Father, did you bring me any gold? Or did you come to see me hanging from this gallows pole? No, I didn't bring you any silver. No, I didn't bring you any gold. I came to see you hanging from the gallows pole. Hangman, 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 your own wife. I think I see my mother coming many a mile. Well, ma, on this gallows pole. No, I didn't bring you any silver. No, I didn't bring you any gold. I came to see you hanging from the gallows pole. Hangman, 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 slack your up a while. I think I see my true love coming many a mile. Well, true love, did you bring me any silver? True love, did you bring me any gold? Or did you come to see me hanging from the gallows pole? No, I didn't bring you any silver. No, I didn't bring you any gold. Hangman, hangman, slack your up a while. I think I see Lord Jesus coming many a mile. Well, Jesus, did you bring me any silver? Jesus, did you bring me any gold? Or did you come to see me hanging from this gallows pole?
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined twice a month by my good friend. Say hello to Jim Barrier.
Hey, Bob. So let me respond to your opening remarks. That was fantastic. I do pay attention. First, there's nothing wrong with using the term kicked off since it is Super Bowl week.
Okay. Oh, is anybody watching that thing this year with the automated applause and the stick figures out in the stadiums?
NFL ratings have been way down, but I think because of the intrigue of the quarterback matchup and this 43-year-old Tom Brady, there will be people tuning in just to see what he can do. But that's beside the point. We don't care as much about that as we do the topic at hand. By the way, you're kind of disclaimer or warning about this sermon by Father Jeffrey Kirby being harsh. My goodness, you just need to go back and listen to people like Charles Finney and John Wesley and some of the great.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Sunday. Certainly harsh by today's milquetoast standards.
By today's standards. Yeah, whoever responded to you and said, "I don't hear much of the love of God," oh,
Well, okay.
That kind of rhetoric.
This guy that responded, he's a good guy, and he does believe that Christians should speak out. I guess he was just hoping that this is a guy that shares the love of Christ, too. And I assume he does. I don't know this guy, but take one clip. I mean, look how often, how many years you and I have been on the radio. People can take clips out of what we say. We've said things harsh. Last week, I said a lot of really harsh things, but I also talked a lot about turning to God and getting courage from him. It all depends on what part people are listening to. But like I said, when people say, well, Jesus wouldn't act that way, they're not reading Matthew 23. Boy, they're just not reading
that. They haven't read the Gospels.
Yeah.
Jesus preached some tough stuff when it was called for. Now,
he got crucified because he preached tough stuff.
I want to dwell on this. He didn't hear much of the love of God. Vine's expository dictionary defines love as saying love can only be known by the actions it prompts. Love seeks the welfare of all. C.S. Lewis, the great apologist, said, love is unselfishly choosing for another's highest good. These people today, they think love means you're going to make people feel good and not offend anybody. And
well, again, to be fair to my friend, I know him well, he's not saying we should never be willing to offend. But however, your point is well taken. We do live in a society where there are a lot of people that feel that way. And there is such a thing as tough love. And agape love is action. And what about the love for the unborn that he was talking about? And what about the love for Christians being persecuted for their faith right now? I loved how he talked about the word tolerance. We've talked about that a lot, how, you know, there's nothing tolerant at all about the leftist approach today. It's just a convenient word for them. They've hijacked these words.
So, and that's the thing. And sometimes we have to call it like this. Jesus called people a brood of vipers. Jesus called people out. He said they were whitewashed tombs. And it had to do with hypocrisy. Now, back to Father Kirby's sermon. And I applaud him. And I have to confess, you know, 40 years ago or so, I was not real warm toward the Catholic Church as a whole. I was kind of more of a Keith Green type of a thinker, if you remember him. I've known a number of Catholic people who are devout Catholics, and they love Jesus, they love God, they love their neighbor, and they're walking it. And so I'm not anti-Catholic.
So, Jim, are you saying for the public record that some of your best friends are Catholics?
I would say that. Yes, I would. In fact, you know, Leslie had an uncle. He passed away a couple of years ago. Father Joe, Uncle Joe. I call him Father Uncle. Wonderful man. Wonderful, caring man. He loved Jesus. He loved God. He loved people just intensely. And when I met him, I came back home and said, you know, if Uncle Joe's not going to heaven, a lot of my Pentecostal preacher friends are in big trouble.
Well, you know, the Catholics have been on the forefront of the pro-life movement and a lot of these social stands that they've been taking. The Little Sisters for the Poor, they were involved with repression from the Obama administration. They do well to ignore this current pope, in my opinion. But again, there's not a church you can find where you won't have trouble because you're going to have people in it. There's wherever you have people, you have problems because people are sinful.
Yeah. And I want to go on record here. I know you remember this, but before the election, you did a show and it was powerful and it was challenging people who call themselves Christians who are going to vote to not vote for the pro-abortion party. And just as Father Kirby said, what have you done? What have you done? I would say that to evangelicals who voted for Biden. I would say, what have you done?
Yeah, there was something really chilling and harrowing in just the way he phrased that. And then, as we've talked about, Jim, it goes beyond that. Well, I'm a Christian. I can't vote for anybody as unpresidential as Donald Trump and the way he tweets. I'm going, dude, get a little bit of perspective. Look at the alternative that you voted for.
Yeah, so you vote for a liar. You vote for a guy who's selling our country down. Hey, we're going to talk about, hopefully we'll have time to talk about some of the idiotic things this guy has done in, 2 weeks' time?
And he has a 40-year record of doing idiotic things, but I think he topped all of them in just this last week and a half.
He's record-setting pace.
Of course, to be fair to him, we don't know if Joe knows anything he signed. I think they're just putting things in front of him. I mean, saying, what am I signing now? Yeah. What did I sign 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what's going on. Before we get to the president, it's just so hard to say it, but he holds the office, and we've talked about it.
Why don't we just call him the king? Because that's what he is.
I will pray for him.
There's no check and balances. We're living under a king right now.
Yeah, but you got to pray for him, and I'm praying for him. I'm not going to tell everybody exactly what I'm praying for. But let's talk about another leader you have in your state. How's the recall going with Governor?
There's only one barometer we can use for this recall in progress, and that's that Gavin Newsom just had an epiphany last Monday. Say, you know what? We should open up a little bit. Of course, opening up means restaurants still meeting outside, and if they ever open up inside again, 25% capacity mask. I don't like the way they define opening up, but I'm sure that recall had a lot to do with it. Jim, hold with me over the break. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
You're listening to the music from the motion picture La La Land, the movie that received the Academy Award for Best Picture of the Year, almost, and in the middle of handing it out to them. We read from the wrong envelope. I didn't know the CDC had once been in charge of the Academy Awards. Say hello again to Jim Barrier.
You know, I remember something like that happened. It didn't involve Steve Harvey, did it?
No, it didn't. Yeah. It actually was a very good movie, and, you know, it won Best Actress and Best Director, and it won 6 Academy Awards. Yeah. In reality, it really was the best picture that year, but technically that award was supposed to go to another movie whose title I can't even recall right now. That's how much of an effect it had on me.
So let's see, where did we pick up, where did we leave off? Oh, Governor Newsom. So I think his wanting to open things up had something to do with the 1 million plus signatures.
Yeah, and Brendan just told me, Brendan, how many Democrats is the latest news? How many Democrats signed that recall?
I actually just looked it up and recently. Now it's at 400,000.
400,000 wow. Democrats voting. Boy, if even the Democrats don't like him anymore, that's something.
And I read that your previous mayor, Kevin Faulkner, I know you know the guy.
I don't know him personally.
Well, you know who I mean. You know who we're talking about.
Yes.
I was not a big fan, but the last mayor that I liked, I kind of like Roger.
Roger Hedgecock. You talking about Roger Hedgecock, who had a radio show?
Yeah. Pete Wilson.
Oh,
was a great mayor. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But Kevin Faulkner has raised over $1 million to help push this recall thing. That's pretty serious. And so apparently he's not done with politics. So I don't know. All of my friends in California, and that includes you, are just really fed up with things. I mean, sick of things. And I have so many friends that would like to, you know, to cash out and get out of there, but they can't. You know, they're all bound up. I have friends that are real estate people that own rentals, and they can't even evict somebody who isn't paying rent. You know, it's all insane. So,
That's the least of what's going to start happening here. There's no limit to what they can do. But again, this recall, that's a good sign. It shows we have some thinking people out there, perhaps more than we thought were out there.
Might be too little, too late.
Well, and then the question is, who's going to take his place?
What are you going to get to replace him?
Yeah, what's going to pop out of the jack-in-the-box underneath him? That's the question.
Who knows? But I live in Texas, brother, and I'm telling
you. Yes, you tend to remind us of that each time you're on, Jim. Talk about rubbing it in.
I'm so happy that I'm so lucky that I made a good choice somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
And that was 30 years ago when I moved here. That's kind of scary. Okay, let's shift.
Well, don't brag about it too much, or Newsom might close the borders on one of your many return visits.
Do you know what I heard? I just read this. Oh, man. You know, we've talked about rhinos, but we have a lino, Beto. He's a Latino in name only. O'Rourke, his family's Irish.
Yeah.
He wants to run for governor.
I have trouble pronouncing his name. I call it Beto O'Dourke, but that's just me.
You know what? I am not a fan. The guy's he's as bad as any of them. He's a liar. He's a hypocrite. He doesn't represent himself truly, and he panders to people, and he is extremely, extremely liberal socialist. And we do not need the likes of him.
I don't even think the phrase liberal socialist does justice anymore. These people are actually fascists. I know they've gained a lot of power by calling everybody else fascists. They are the fascists. Yeah. They're using fascist tactics. I know socialism is a nice sounding word. We're not going to be living under socialism under them. We're not quite there yet. Our republic is being suspended by a very thin thread, but we're fast tracked to living under a fascist government. I don't care if Sanders calls it socialism.
No.
Or Beto calls it socialism.
They use whatever words they want. Well, Beto's the one that famously said, "I will come and take your AK-47.
Yeah, and I'd love to see him do that. I'd love to see him go to Texas and personally be the one to go to somebody's door and take their guns.
You know what?
I'd pay good money to watch that.
Down in Gonzales, Texas. I know I've told you that story, but that's the city way back when Santa Ana was running his rampage through Texas, and they had a cannon down there. He sent some troops down there to collect that cannon, and it only fired one shot in its entire history. They fired a shot at Santa Ana's troops, and they all retreated. They hoisted a flag and said, "Come and take it." And that's where now the gun rights activists have stolen that or borrowed that thing, "Come and take it." Yeah, Beto, come and take it.
Yeah, it's no longer Remember the Alamo. It's no longer Remember the Alamo. It's Remember the Beto. That's the new slogan.
Well, and I told you this, I think, a while back, that when they were all of these Antifa, which is another great oxymoron.
They
were
right.
Bernadette Billings. They showed up downtown in front of the Alamo, and a whole bunch of Texas boys showed up with their rifles and shotguns, and that show was over in 10 minutes. That lasted about as long as a Mike Tyson fight. You know, they said, "Wow, I'm worked up, Bob. You got me worked up here, pal."
Well, that's good. You can afford to get worked up. You're in Texas where you probably won't get arrested.
Right. I have a lot of allies out here. I'm just telling you.
We here in California, we kind of look both ways when we walk out of the radio studio out into the parking lot.
I'm sure. Well, when I'm out there, I have to do the same. But then we are going to talk about Joe, Sleepy Joe, Sleazy Joe, whoever he is. But
Marionette Joe speaking, and the puppeteers are Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders.
No kidding.
Okay, well, Jim, we're up to another commercial. We will be right back. Okay. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Looking for a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 in Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not, in fact, get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. I'm joined with my good friend Jim Barrier. The time does go by fast, Jim, and we're having a good time and both talking over each other, but I'll try to do that less. Let's go ahead and continue with where we left off.
Okay, well, let's talk about the current occupant of the Oval Office. It's just even hard for me to give him a title. Here's some things he did immediately. Now, I know, you know, he has signed, I think, over 40 executive orders already, just smashing world records.
And they're just getting warmed up.
Short period of time. Yeah, yeah. But here's some things that he did. I just want to point you that I know you know this, and probably most of our listeners know this, but I just want to highlight it so you get the context of what the heck is happening to our country. He rejoined the World Health Organization. I, for one, was so glad we got out of that mess. And he immediately put us back in it, rejoined the Paris Climate Accord. Oh, my gosh. Why don't you join the circus, Joe?
It's like he looked at a list of what would be the worst things I could possibly do for this country and move us toward a one-world order.
Yeah, that's the deal, globalism. What he looked at was a list of what did Trump do, and he is the anti-Trump. Whatever Trump did, I'm going to do the opposite, which a lot of people are really, really happy about, but it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be like the priest we talked about. People are going to go, what have I done? I mean, already you got all these union workers that are out of jobs, and they voted for him because union guys tend to vote Democrat, and he's just shutting down everything in the energy industry. It's going to just destroy the economy. I can't believe it. He repealed, he repealed the global gag rule, the Mexico City policy, banning international groups receiving U.S. aid for performing, facilitating, or even discussing abortion. This guy is the most pro-abortion president we've ever had, and that's saying something.
And you notice how on Inauguration Day he went to church first. We were all supposed to be very moved by that.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know what? There were churches mentioned in the book of Revelation, and they didn't get good reviews.
Yeah, it's the old saying, going to church no more makes you a Christian than sitting in the garage makes you a car.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just... But, you know, every president in history has gone to church somewhere. I mean, Obama went to Pastor Wrong or whatever, right? Whatever was he?
Yeah, the Reverend Wright with the, yeah.
Yeah, the guy that hated America. So they all go to church. So what?
Yeah, and again, look, we're not saying you shouldn't go to church. Jim and I are both pastors.
It's no longer okay to use gender reference pronouns. Everything is gender neutral. It's so stupid.
Except that nobody that says that really believes it. Look how much they're excited that we have the first female vice president. Well, I thought we're not supposed to use gender language, but we're talking about how exciting it is to have the first female vice president. So
yeah,
there's zero consistency here.
It's just stupid. Okay, and we can't use the term China virus or Wuhan virus.
Yeah, because that speaks the truth about where the virus came from.
Yeah. I'm just so tired of this kind of...
Well, and it's just so ridiculous. You saying that the virus came from China doesn't mean you're making a disparaging remark against Chinese people. 99% of the people that live in China have my sympathy and my empathy, and my heart and prayer goes out to them. It's the Chinese government that was the culprit in this. So, but it's just...
Absolutely.
People just don't know how to parse this out.
We had a Spanish flu, we had a Hong Kong flu, and that's never been an issue before. It's like, okay, that's where it came from. We're not saying that we're prejudiced against any people because of their race. I'm so sick of all this flu.
It's because we're living in the age of idiocy. We had the age of enlightenment, the age of reason. Welcome to the age of idiocy.
Boy, and beyond. Okay, let's see. Let's look at some national security things. Okay, he ended travel restrictions on Muslim-majority countries that Trump had instituted. He halted the construction of the wall at the U.S.-Mexico border, which, that's just a fiasco. What a knucklehead.
It's like it was Halloween night and he went out on a scavenger hunt with this list of things he was told to do. That's what this is like.
Yeah, it's just it's crazy. He ended the migrant protection protocols that Trump instituted. Restructured immigration and arrest priorities for ICE. It's just on and on. Reverse components of the immigration enforcement expansion. Strengthened DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. Ordered the inclusion of non-U.S. citizens in the census. That right there, folks, that is going to be a big
well, and it's unconstitutional, too. Okay, hang with me for one more segment. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Thank you.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, what? By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. Jim, we're down already to our last segment, but it's always great having you. Let's go ahead and wrap this up with our final thoughts. I was expecting you, after giving Biden's list, to sing in a partridge in a pear tree to kind of top it off.
Well, in a partridge in your pantry.
partridge okay. And just in your pantry.
Here, in your pantry. He canceled the pipeline, the Keystone XL pipeline, canceled permits for it, placed a moratorium on oil and gas leasing in the Arctic National Wildlife Region.
After promising that he would not do that, and then going and then saying that he would do it, depending on who he was talking to at the moment.
Yeah. Suspended gas development projects in national wildlife monuments. He took a page right out of Newsom's book. He asked the EPA to immediately reconsider methane regulations. That's so stupid. I'm sorry, it's stupid. Can I get in trouble for calling the president stupid?
Well, a while ago I would have said no because we live in a constitutional republic, but these days you could get arrested for sneezing.
Yeah, I don't know. We live in the People's Republic.
In the People's Republic of America. That's about what it's coming down to.
Yeah. Okay, here's some more stuff, and then we're going to wrap up here. Extend a nationwide eviction and foreclosure moratorium. We talked about that. I have friends in San Diego that own properties, and they can't even evict somebody if they have just cause. He paused student loan payments and the accruing interest temporarily.
Well, Jim, wait a minute. Do you think he's onto something with this eviction thing? Because it could protect him from getting evicted from the White House?
That's a good point. I hadn't thought of that. It's not going to happen. And what else isn't going to happen? You know, they're pushing on with this second attempt to try Trump and
remove him from office when he's already left office.
He's not in office, so they're going to try to impeach him. It's not going to happen.
He still lives rent-free in their heads. That's the problem. And he's going to be living there the next four years. That's all they're going to talk about is Trump.
And he can't evict Trump from his head.
Yeah. I'm telling you. It would be, if it wasn't so sad for the future of our country, it would be quite laughable.
Yeah. And I've been a little out of control here tonight, and I'm having fun. But
that's okay. If you can't be out of control with your friends on the radio, where can you be out of control on?
Well, for now. But there is the serious side, Bob. I am more concerned now than I was before the election. I am so concerned for our country, and again, I just want to echo back to the good priest that we heard from tonight, Father Jeffrey Kirby. And I would have the same appeal to the Protestants. Folks, we're in trouble. And if you read the Bible and if you read history, when the people of God are in trouble and they're up against serious opposition and foes and danger and evil, our best bet, our best warfare, Our only hope is to pray like our lives depend on it. And if you don't think your lives depend on it, think about your children or your children's children. Their lives depend on it. Think about the unborn children. Their lives depend on it. And we need to pray like we've never prayed before. We need some serious, serious shaking. All that can shake will be shaken. I'm telling you, there needs to be some shaking going on. A whole lot of shaking going on needs to happen. Man, I feel like preaching, Bob.
Yeah, remember the old commercial for Shake and Bake, the instant fried chicken?
Yeah, yeah.
When you start thinking about the judgments of God that could be coming our way, like earthquakes or like hell itself, it's kind of a shake and bake.
Something's going to happen. Well, I always thought about California. Thought about the earthquakes and the fires, and that's the shake and bake going on out there. But we need something dramatic to happen. We need a move of God. We need sovereignty to intervene. And you know how I don't believe that everything is wound up and set in motion, and that God can't change things or do new things. I don't believe in everything being Allah's will. I think that there is human choice, and I think God interacts and responds with his creation. He gives us a chance. He gives us a choice. If we make wrong choices, there are consequences. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And I'm going to just stand on that. I'm going to keep saying that every chance I get and appeal to God's people. And if you're out there, if you're a listener and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian or a person of faith, or you think that we're a little extreme on our positions, I invite you to talk to Bob about I'd like to believe in God. But even if you're not a religious person or a person of faith, you can see that we have serious problems. And I would challenge you to breathe a prayer. You know, Bob, when I became a believer 52 years ago, someone challenged me and said, I challenge you to pray this prayer. God, I don't believe you're there, but if you are, show yourself to me. And you know what? I did that. I prayed that prayer. And within a few months, I had been persuaded by the evidence that I could research and consider. And I considered the claims of Christ. And Jesus was either a liar or a nut job, or he was who he said he is. And I came to the conclusion that he was who he claimed to be. I still believe that. I believe he raised from the dead. Bob, I'm preaching here. You're going to have to reel it in.
You're doing great, Jim. And that is such an important message. And by all means, call the station or contact me online, questions@bobsiegel.net, questions@bobsiegel.net. You could reach both Jim or I on the CGM Radio Podcast Network.
Yeah.
And Jim would be happy to talk to you too. Jim does his own great show called Since You Asked. By the way, Jim and I like to joke about a lot of things. And I know that to those of us who live in California, earthquakes and fires are no joke. Yeah. And although the Bible does talk about earthquakes and God sometimes sending them, we don't assume that every time there's a fire or there's an earthquake, it's the judgment of God. I don't make that assumption at all. Neither Jim nor I are claiming to be a prophet. I will say this, something that the Bible is much more clear about, though, and that is that nations do get the leaders that they deserve. And if there are people out there who were supporting the administration we have, and a lot of them are experiencing what they call buyer's remorse, I would strongly just go to God, and it may not even be a matter of how you voted. There may have been people that voted the other way, but how you're living. I talked last week about a lot of evangelical pastors compromising from the pulpit. That's why I found it so refreshing to hear this Catholic priest today. But we do see much more talk in the Bible about God letting people live under the human tyranny if they don't want to live under him, then we see about earthquakes and fires. So I just wanted to add that little qualification because Jim and I, we'll make a joke about anything, but obviously earthquakes, fires, there's nothing really funny about that. But my friends, is there anything funny about living under the kind of fascism that our country just seems to have handed over to people. That should concern you much more.
Yeah.
And on that note, God bless everybody. Yeah. We will need it, but there's always hope. There's always Christ. He is our rock. Jim, we'll see you next month. And I'll see you, everybody, next week.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.